Hello.
Hello,
Fuglies.
One more time. We got to do it.
Hello, Fuglies. This episode marks the beginning of our Dragula Season 4 recap show.
Called no Wicked. On Fridays, we're doing recaps, so there's no Wicked references. There's no phone number singing. And we're going to talk in spooky voices about Dragula. This one's extra special and long because it's the first season,
the first
so we got to meet all
the
queens.
Got to get through them all. I love my little baby formaldehyde.
And we have an amazing guest, Eva Destruction, with
Eva
us
Destruction
from
here.
Season
and
3.
I am really excited for you guys to listen to this. She has
straight
a lot
out
of good intake.
Yeah.
Insight.
Intake.
She's just taking it. She told me once she fisted someone, but that's
all
for later.
All right. Let's go to the show.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with a sloppy second.
Oh, Diva.
So you don't sing now, you ready?
No, yeah, okay. This is weird, okay. Hello, Fuglies.
We are your goulash ghouls,
and welcome to Spooky Seconds.
Okay,
that was
I
good.
That
was pretty
yeah,
good. I think
we did
a good job. See, now we've done recap episodes in the past. We recap The Grinch Live. We recap In the Heights.
Yes,
talk
we
about
did.
Matthew Morrison. Wait, is that his name?
Yeah, from The Grinch.
Trauma.
We talked about Matthew Morrison and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, but now
we're really getting into our recap fantasy here, because we are going to go episode by episode and recap all of season 4 of Dragula. For the next, is it 8 weeks or 10 weeks?
I think it might be like 11 weeks.
Period of time. We are your
Goulash.
Wait, get into the
Goulash. I can't do it.
It's very hard. I think you have to start. You know how, like, when you do an Irish accent, you have to say like Ireland to get there. I think we have to say
you
hello.
Have to say Ireland. No, you have to say whale oil be damned or something.
Well, I don't know. We to each their own. To me, to get to the voice, I have to go hello, Uglies.
Hello, Uglies.
So we are going to be your goulash gals, and this is officially every Friday. It is going to be Spooky Seconds.
I'm so excited for this.
Me too.
So this is our first episode recap. This is the intro episode, and we have a very special guest.
Tell him.
All the way from season 3 of Dragula. We just had a wonderful time in Baltimore.
Ooh.
And I thought, who better?
Ooh.
I had such a good time. We have Eva Destruction.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I am doing well. I'm coming down from another week of doing some back-to-back gigs and out of town like areas. And
yeah, you flew out at like 4 a.m. from Baltimore. She flew in, basically came straight to the
it's
show, did her makeup.
It's spooky. It's a ghost.
Left the gig, ate pizza, got on a plane.
Well,
literally,
I'm glad you made time for pizza. What number did you do?
Oh, I mean, I did a little bit of like Oxytocin by Miss Billy, and then gave him some Bloody Mary by Gaga and this bloodied wedding dress vampire look.
It was cunty.
On brand.
Yeah. And then I turned around and did a gig in Charlotte, North Carolina with Carolina Creep Show, hosted by Mister and Vegas
we
Van
love
Dank.
Mister.
Shout out to them. Vegas Van Dank is absolutely fantastic. So is Mister. If you're ever in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you happen to be around Chasers, check out Carolina
Creep Show.
Love
the name
of
that place.
It's a really cool bar, too. They have a great stage.
It is nitty gritty, and it is a very punk experience. Like it's definitely rough around the edges, but everyone there is very nice. They're very welcoming. There happened to be a pageant that evening of my show. So it's kind of like they mixed the show in with the pageant, and it was kind of like a Halloween themed kind of pageant too. So spooky, spooky.
We love spooky over here.
I do. I'm the scariest queen I know.
So would you say since your Dragula experience, that is sort of, as far as like your bookings go, like you are an ambassador to the brand, like it leads with like from Dragula, it's Eve of Destruction, or do you feel like it's something you did once and now you just continue to do other things?
Oh, no. I mean, I wear Dragula as a badge of honor, especially the bullshit that I endured and, you know, the hoops and the hurdles that I jumped through during the competition. I went into Dragula knowing exactly, you know, how I wanted to approach it. And even afterwards, because it was a whole transformation story for me, to be honest. And I wear that as a little tiny, you know, homemade tiara on my head. And work. I go around and I'm always like, hey, watch me on Dragula, or, you know, check out Dragula season 4. You're like, I'm very pro Dragula and I definitely love being a part of the family. But at the same time, even before Dragula, I was still traveling. I was still booking shows and still running around, you know, doing the damn thing, all thanks to, you know, the love and support the community has given me for about 10 plus years now that I've been in the business. So
I knew about you forever.
Yeah, totally. I knew about you when I was living in Chicago.
That's incredible. Let's get into this episode, baby.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this episode starts with a very scary story. It is the tale of two witches, or it's the tale of two witches, and then they make people compete, but everyone's in a mask. And then if you lose the competition, they kill you. And if you win a bunch of stuff. And that's it? Is that the story? Yeah. Okay, so it's just the story of the competition.
Yeah, it was like a historic, like medieval or like Salem witch era esque retelling of what Dragula is, told in black and white, right?
Yeah. It was like this really cool depiction of like an origin story for Dragula. Yes. As soon as I saw
those are the words.
It was like,
you know what? Nail on the head. She gets
origin
it.
Story. It was the origin story.
It was
the origin.
My favorite part about this origin story is that in this story, they're both the same size.
That's correct.
Didn't you catch that though? Them both I was like, being the
is
same
she
height.
In stacks? Because she walked at one point. She must she have been did in some walk. Really tall shoes, or they just had a big long platform underneath her gown. I was like,
amazing.
What?
I was so into it.
Gooped and gagged. As soon as I saw them like put the crown on the head and like pour that, you know, sacrificial blood on that winner, quote unquote, it was like, I was like, it's Dragula. They're literally depicting like the origins of quote unquote Dragula. So I thought that was so clever.
It was really pretty. It was really well shot. I liked that. It was gorgeous. And then it cuts to like a modern day or like 80s or sometime. And it's the Brulé
like
Brothers mask.
Day.
Yeah, it's modern day. I got like 80s horror vibes from it. So like they're going for a theme. And they had the Brulé Brothers masks.
Good product placement right there. Now, are those already sold
commercial.
Out?
They must be. I remember they only made like 100 and something of them.
Limited edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had them sold just regularly, or you could get them signed for a little extra.
Ooh.
Work. And then right away we get that theme music, drag, filth.
This
horror,
sounded like a
glamour.
Newer version of
little
it,
remix?
Right? It
little
sounded
upgrade?
Different.
It's the version, the recorded version's from season 3 because they revamped it for season 3. But they did add a couple new visuals. I did see they added in a couple new shots of them for sure.
And then the big news here, the rundown of what the winner gets. Headline the Dragula World Tour. You get $100,000 and they make it very clear to
who
say,
it comes from.
This is our coin.
This is
courtesy of us.
Mama, I lost it. I said, you better tell them.
I was like, come on, no more sponsors.
Yeah.
I said, we are paying you out. And the title of the world's next drag super monster. And I am curious about the world tour because there was some gaggy shit that went down with Drag Race in that contract. You know, you're almost like required to do certain gigs. For like a smaller amount than you could independently. I'm curious if it's like contractually, listen, Diva, we're going to give you $100,000, but also you got to do 12 gigs. So it's sort of like a prepayment. Oh. Or if you also get paid to be on the tour.
You'll probably.
No, absolutely. That is part of the gig because the contract that you sign basically just says, hey, like you're along for the ride. Yeah. And if we need you, then contractually we're supposed to have you basically for those times. And tours are set up differently depending on like who's setting up the tour exactly and who's running it, who's running the show behind the scenes. So I guess it all is mostly just all up in the air and depends on like which touring company you're being a part of, or is it self-produced by the Boulez, yada yada. It's all just like word of mouth and paperwork at that point.
But and also like at the end of this, like all of these girls would be so happy to do a world tour probably for free.
Right.
I would have. I mean, that's great.
I mean, getting to do the European tour before, you know, the panoramic shut down everything, that was such a once in a lifetime bucket list opportunity, because I finally got to work in like, you know, London, and I got to go to Paris and Germany.
And they're crazy
and
for Dracula over there.
They are so just hungry for it over there. And it's such a shame that like even streaming platforms don't allow, you know, coverage over there with the show. So they have to, you know, illegally, you know, access it and use the VPN game, all that bullshit. So I'm just so glad to see that regardless of that, there's just such a, they're just so saturated and they just love the show so much.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Meatball.
Let's meet these dolls, girls. Okay, so we get to the warehouse, and first Mary Cherry pulls up in a van, and she's told to go into a warehouse. And she says, I'm not going to do it. She said, no, thank you. I'm not down for haunted things. That was what
now,
she
why
said.
Would you go, now,
why
would
you
show
up and be like, no, I'm not going to do nothing scary.
Well, why would you go on Dracula and not be down for haunted
things?
See,
but her big mistake was admitting what she wouldn't do, because that's how they get you.
Oh, yeah.
When you say you don't want to do something, those sadists will straight up be like, oh, we're going to fucking push you in the deep end when you don't even know how to swim, diva.
That's exactly, and it's coming up for her.
Now, the entrance, you go through this like hallway in a basement, and there's someone there like jump scaring
Samara
you. Like,
jumps out at you.
Yeah. Do you ever go to haunted houses? Is a jump scare thing your vibe?
No, I would scream.
It took me until I was 16 years old to be comfortable with the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Now it's my favorite ride. Okay. Like, I don't do haunted houses unless like
similar to Mary.
I have to have somebody in front of me that I can hide myself or something. But that's even, I just refuse haunted houses. Like, even the episode before I got eliminated, and then they did the haunted house challenge for the next episode.
Oh,
on season
3.
And I turned to Madeline when we were back, like, you know, back at the house, quote unquote. And I was just like, you know what? I'm okay with this. They can do that. They can do that. I've accepted my fate. Yeah. They can have fun with that.
I'm good. My God. So then Astrid, who is the daughter of Dali, walks in.
And La Zavaleta. And so now we've got three Brooklyn girls as the first girls in the room.
Which is great. They all knew each other. They were all just kind of like, all right, hi. They must have known they were all going.
Well, I think that Astrid lives in Phoenix, though, right? Or
well, they get to this in a little bit when Zavaleta's getting shady.
Jabs her a little bit.
Oh, I see.
She gets
yeah,
because
later she, what did she say? She's like,
well,
you
couldn't even make it in Brooklyn. You had to move back.
So you moved back.
Oh my,
which is shady,
girl. Like immediately, right out the gate, the shade is being thrown. Like. So violently against the wall, I was like clutching my chest. I was like, "Oh, the kids are fighting!"
Yes, they came really in with a fire under their ass. And
they
then
came in hot.
Coco Kane comes in, and I'm obsessed.
Me too.
I'm really obsessed.
I also love that she's on this show, and she's like, "I'm the Cardi B of drag," and I just love.
I buy
like,
it.
You know, you sort of think, like, I go in, I'm not really well versed in horror and stuff like that. And, like, this, like, you know, it took me a while to really clock what people were doing on the floor show. I was like, what character is that? And so I just love someone coming in and being like, yes, I love this, this lane, but I'm also like, you know, want to reference pop and rap music and want to reference like mainstream shit. And so that to me was very exciting that she was like, I'm the Cardi B of drag.
Yeah, and not to mention how she proportions her entire look, where she looks like she's a giant in person, but the fact that she proportions that out with her hips, her tits, her hair, just her mug in general. I was like, I'm already
stunning
a fan.
And snatched the bodies this season. Speaking of body queens,
we have to give credit where it's due because she is the icon and she is the moment. Quite frankly,
Then comes in Miss Bitter Betty.
And I love what she says.
I'm not gonna have to say some cheesy fucking tagline.
Oh, see, I
and Asher goes, please don't.
I absolutely love some tasteful, good, just home, old fashioned Drag Race shade.
That is
shade. Well, if you want some Drag Race shade, you go to Bitter Betty because she has been, you know, beefing on Twitter with World of Wonder for maybe a decade at this point. Her FKA name, her current name, like she always has beef with Drag Race, and so that was kind of funny.
It's a tale as old as time with that one. Yes.
And I loved her look.
Yeah. So then Jade Jolie comes in.
And I was actually surprised because Jade works at Play. Mm-hmm. And Bitter Betty, long time ago, formerly Sarah Andrews, worked at Play as well forever and ever. And yeah, so I'm actually surprised that they don't know each other.
That is weird, but maybe they were at different plays.
They were,
Nashville and Louisville.
Sarah was in Nashville, but I think around the time that Jade got, because Jade is in Louisville. She was in Louisville at that play, and Sarah or Bitter was at Nashville. But then I think around the time that Jade got on cast, Bitter was already living in Chicago.
And Bitter was in Chicago for a long time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Then
yeah.
Next comes in Hoso Teratoma. Hoso Teratoma from Seoul, South Korea. So is this our first international girl? Have we had a Canadian?
Yeah, we had Yovska season. So Yovska, they were the first like international, but Hoso is the first like overseas. Yeah.
Work. I'm obsessed. I've already talked about it. I love the mug. I love how funny they are on Twitter. I'm obsessed.
And how stunning they are. Out of drag,
and
too,
I think they made all their own looks.
Oh my, yes, Hoso does create all of their looks. Yeah,
that's very incredible because cool. They are high level looks. Then,
let's actually, before we get to our last few divas, let's take a break.
Oh my goodness, fabulous. This is going to be a long episode.
No, we're barreling through. Don't worry, we got to meet everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Helix.
That's right, baby. We love Helix mattresses. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Just take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I took the quiz and I was matched with the big and tall sleeper. It got delivered in a box. We unwrapped the box and threw it on the bed, and it's sort of like you give it a little time to settle, and I love sleeping on my mattress. It is something I look forward to coming home to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've both been traveling so much lately, and for me, I just love coming home to sleep on my Helix mattress. Nothing is as comfortable.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. And that's why they offer a 100-night sleep trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
HelixSleep.com/sloppy and use code HelixPartner20.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay. Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. Okay, yeah. We're back.
And we're back. We're back.
You gotta do, honey. Yeah, you gotta do the...
It's gotta be spooky.
And in comes Sigourney Beaver.
I like
the body.
So into Sigourney.
I'm super into it. Very funny, very confident.
Yes.
There was no like fumbling in the meat. Like some of the girls, it's clear.
But there was that fumble with Mary Cherry because Sigourney walked in and she got overwhelmed to see Betty. So she ran across the room and Mary Cherry was like, oh, so fuck me because I'm standing right here.
It was very.
Yeah, I guess.
But what I loved about this whole thing is that they were all sort of like awkwardly, like it was clear on purpose. Production did not give them a direction on what to do in that room.
Absolutely. They were like, let's see what happens.
And I think they did that on purpose to make everyone feel more on edge inside of this haunted house and like not know what's going on. Because there are parts when people are like not cheating out to the camera, like sort of no one knows if you're supposed to make introductions or stand there cold face and sort of wait. And I just like loved how sort of awkward that got. And you could tell it was on purpose.
Yeah,
it felt like hella organic. And also like I think that because it was such an unfamiliar environment, it's exactly why Sigourney ran straight to the first person that she knew, because that's very my energy too. It's like I clam up at a party until I see somebody that I know and I'm straight to them. I'm not the one usually making first introductions because I'm normally like, okay, like, cool, hi, but I'm going to be, like, in the back corner, kind of, like, you know, twiddling my fingers until, like, a friend I see, like, shows up or something.
Yeah. That makes sense, yeah. And then next up, we have Formaldehyde from Formaldehyde. Phoenix. So now, this is someone who's actually from Phoenix, not, like, Astrid. And
Astrid's from Phoenix.
Says she always wears a mask.
Always wears a mask.
I love that. In the first few minutes, someone was like, ooh, so a mask girl, historically not very good on Dracula.
they really
like, how can I get some jabs in the first minute?
They didn't, they didn't hold back any punches with those introductions, like, at all. Like,
and that poor child, that child is 21 years old,
going
into
hell.
The den. Oh, you find formaldehyde a little sexy?
Something about that work for me.
Dark and mysterious, honey.
You get something about that. Something about that worked for me.
Something about that was just doing it. Formaldehyde.
And then Saint.
And the Saint is back, and she won season Saint. 3 and won Dracula regular resurrection.
Yes.
My season 3 sister. I'm so happy to see her back in like the competition, and already like even from the promo to now, like she looks like she's coming in swinging. Honestly,
yeah, she looks like she's coming in with money.
Yeah. I was like, after that prize, she better be.
What was the prize for Resurrection?
25,000 macaroonies. Yup.
Well, we looked at everyone's promo photos and we talked about Saints because we were like, what's with the panty? And then we came to the realization that we were like, she was probably just squat to the wind. And they were like, we actually can't put that in Entertainment Weekly. So all they like scrounged up some panty to have for her because her look was so sexy. It was so good.
It was sexy.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. And those legs. Honey. Oh, when she does the runway, oh my God.
Saint's got some legs. She's got ass. Like, I've seen it all in person, up, down, like, undressed, dressed, everything. Saint's sexy.
And what's the flavor
let
like?
That be the quote of this podcast.
Okay. And then a video message comes on the screen.
No, did they do video messages in previous seasons? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What did you think about this look? That sort of plastic
fucking plastic melted shit with the wig.
And then the rhinestone wig that like Envy like Peru pointed. Had from Holland.
Oh my gosh. It's like those are incredible.
It's like consistently like it's like they find they know their fucking look. They
yes,
do.
Absolutely.
And they just take that silhouette and just keep like just embellishing or just making it even more grand like every time. Every
Don't you
fucking
also
time.
Feel that because you see the look twice and they are perfectly matched every time they do it, it carries an additional weight, like an yes. additional impact.
It is.
Well,
yeah.
it's always exactly the same, but opposite. Like the hair's always going yes. the other direction. Like there's so much attention to detail in something that's so simple, but it's yeah, those like, wigs. I want
even
it.
With
it looks
earrings. Even with their earrings, one like Drac was wearing one on one side and then Swan wears the other on the other side too sometimes.
Well,
like,
that was just because they only bought one pair. Normally they buy
that was a budget day.
That was a budget day. They said, well, we spent too much on the wigs. We can only get one set of earrings.
Okay.
And do you think the queens knew that it was $100,000? Because
so. Wasn't that announced when it was like, do you want to
when
compete?
They were doing the casting call?
Yeah, when it was the casting call, it was like it was gonna be $100,000, or am I making that up?
I mean, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no, I remember reacting on TikTok about it actually because okay. the auditions opened up and I said $100,000.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
$100,000 doll hairs?
So this Girl. Is the first sign of group acting then.
Oh yeah. Just
or...
a good reaction shot. Like everybody, I want you to pretend like this is the first time you've heard yeah. this. Cash prize.
Or clever editing. And when the Boulets first popped up on the screen, everyone was so surprised and they took that shot. You yeah. never know.
You
Nathan
never know.
Got some skills in the directing department, so you never know.
Okay. So and then they get shoved into coffin like boxes and then dropped into the abyss. What was
they,
that?
What they was straight that? Up well first that, of all, they all had to go in this haunted house, like right. little extermination yeah. challenge. And if you don't make it, you're gone immediately. Right. And I was just like, oh my God, how are they going to judge this? Like, if they're all going into it. But yeah, they shoved them into these like launch boxes. They said, okay, we're ready for launch. And I was like, launch?
What Girl, and I looked at-
what if they sent them bitches to space?
Step aside, Jeff
First
Bezos.
Challenge.
We're in it.
Diva,
Dragula's
season 5
here.
Is on Amazon Prime, yeah, and they're using Bezos. Jeff Bezos' space money.
Right, the fuck.
But that's the thing. So they put them in these little... The
Is this... I mean,
the doors lift up?
They, no, they,
and they turn
they,
them
they
vertical?
They lean back, so
and
they're
then
on
just
their
dropped
back.
Them, I guess. I wanted to know where they got dropped to, because all of a sudden they were all just standing up in a room.
And then walking around
in a haunted house, and I was like, "Now wait a minute, there's a disconnect."
No, but for real, I want that B-roll footage. I want that footage of them landing on whatever they because I'm like,
hopefully
who got whiplash? Who yeah. lost their wig? Who got stabbed by their earring? Who got their rib like bruised from their corset? I want to know.
Sigourney got her rib bruised when that clown dropped her. I was like, now that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Word.
She got shoved down.
So I'm sure the paperwork is like anything that happens, you can't
that's
say shit
yours.
About it. I love when they were shoving Mary in that door. She was like, I'm not going to fit in there.
And they
Mary is giving
fit.
Us the one-liners I need. Like she's going
Mary
full
Cherry.
Camp. She's
yes.
being full-blown Mary Cherry. She's so authentic. Astrid had a spiral with that
Well,
car.
Let's talk about... So in the haunted house, there are all these different things. They're walking through these rooms. There's jump scares. There's this. There's that. There's a rotating room. There's all this stuff. But the sort of most intense stunt is they make them all kneel down. And then there's like headlights.
A van. It's like the front end of a van.
And it comes barreling at them. And it stops just shy of them. And it like... throws a gust of wind on them and it's like really triggering for Astrid.
Yeah, it's a very interesting approach to playing with people's fears. I thought just looking at it, I was like, oh, they're not going to actually crash into them. But then I was thinking, I was like, you know, that is still frightening because you're still going to jump. You're getting blasted by all that air. And I think Astrid, like, I didn't think, because at first I was like, oh, is this like an overreaction like moment? Like what? But then I was like, no, like Astrid explained it and they straight up have PTSD from this shit. Like they
right.
almost got,
yeah,
they got
I wish
in a
they
really bad
gone
car accident.
I wish they would have gone into more detail about the car accident.
Well, girl, that's more PTSD. What are you doing?
Do they want an Emmy? Okay. So then...
Oh.
Honestly, the budget for this was insane. That was really crazy. Was. Whatever house they rented, spooky, probably downtown in a warehouse. Anyway, after the haunted house, all the queens are granted a prize from PPI and Skin Illustrator, a special effects makeup package.
That's nice.
I've it's never like heard of any of that. But that's, trophy. Yeah, it's literally like, you well, maybe it's like for them to use in the competition. Maybe
that's
they're
what
like,
I
bitch,
help
I'll
you
take
out.
Anything.
Yeah.
I would take anything. I'm like, give me all the free shit. I got shit to do.
Because I'm sure once you get there, you have all your ideas, and then you're like, oh shit, these girls are heightening it. I need something else. Here it is.
Right.
And then they announced the main challenge.
And which... all of this is happening on the video message. They've yet to meet the Boulets, girl. They are in the haunted house. They got thrown around by clowns. They, like, and
they said,
they're like,
we're going to get our money worth in this building.
They
were like,
no...
you don't deserve to meet us until you build a look. Because these little entrance looks are fine, but we need to see you in the floor show before you get to see us in person.
Yeah,
I live for that.
We're not going to give you that hello, you know, moment.
Yes, like, no, not even a boo, boo, boo.
goodbye.
Okay, Meepo, what do they call it? Do they call it the main challenge or the floor?
The floor show. It's the floor show.
It's the
but they
show
never
challenge.
Refer to it as a floor show challenge. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now they're calling these mini challenges, they're calling them fright feet. A feet of fright.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which I think that's new. They didn't call it that last season. So the challenge is a horror icon makeover challenge. You choose a classic horror icon and reimagine their look from the ground up in a fresh and terrifying way. It's not cosplay, but it must be recognizable.
It's a great way to jump around copyright.
Word!
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Me neither.
I'm like, hey, like you. It's like, you know, taking a character and just giving it a
just
spirit
make
Halloween
it just
name.
A little different. Yes, it's the spirit Halloween challenge.
It's like you're giving that character its own spirit Halloween package costume name. Like,
yes. You better work
like
even.
Italian plumber
so
man.
I'm just saying, yeah. Skin
Italian
apron,
plumber brothers. Is
skin
what you're
apron saying. Cannibal. You know, yeah. Like
fair skinned princess and her 7 tiny friends. The winner of the challenge will get $1,000 of high heels.
Okay, work.
Which from where? Fierce Queen. Shoes
Fierce Queen.
Fierce Queen, yeah. That's where I get my shoes. And the two competitors who score the lowest will be up for extermination. So this is all pretty regular. This is how they do it all the time. But the
now,
new...
Meatball, you mentioned this, right? They like go to, they like leave this and they go to a miniature set, sort of like Beetlejuice, right?
Yeah.
Like we go to the miniature set of
and
like
if
the
I'm
mansion.
Correct, I think the taller of the two make all those little
no,
sets.
that was Swan who designed that little haunted house. It's a Beetlejuice homage, and Swan designed that entire little
isn't that crazy?
Model. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. And then the inside of that mansion is meant to be the boudoir.
The boudoir.
The boudoir, honey.
Right. And now this is an updated
this
boudoir
is
from season 3.
Updated boudoir. How did this make you feel seeing this, knowing that you had to get ready?
I, of all people, I felt some type of fucking way. I was like, okay, so they get some room to actually spread their arms. Mm-hmm. They get, you know,
their own
the table.
Table.
They get the tables. And then later we see them at their own makeup mirrors. And yes. I said, you know what? Okay, it's better than a little, you know, little beauty mirror without, you know, lighting, just the above lighting. And then just pray for daylight and just try to get, just don't bump into anybody.
I mean,
they had a little
season,
more room.
We were in just the dressing room at Precinct, which can't even fit 3 drag queens in it now. So it was crazy to see this. What a level up.
I know, honestly.
And the big coffin table in the middle.
That's
theater, honey. I absolutely love the presentation. I love the color scheme. I love that everything's more like deep, darker tones. So that way everybody really just stands out on camera.
Now, how many outlets do you think are in that room?
Five.
Because that's the real question.
There's like four or five top. I'm just kidding.
Right. People are still cable daisy jumping chaining. With the
yeah,
daisy
cable jumping. Bringing the extension cords from home. Yeah.
So, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about this mess that happens. This dramatic mess.
There's a villain already. There's a villain among us.
We'll be right back.
And where
are you feeling spooky?
I just can't help myself.
So all the contestants are out of drag, sitting around the coffin table.
We're finally getting to see all of the hot one.
And
we're gonna get to see all the hot one.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
One. Singular.
Just the one.
Just one.
And why do you think it got so dramatic so fast?
Because Mama was coming for... There must be some underlying anger between Zavaleta and Astrid. Because they fight about their trauma, and Zavaleta is just letting her have it. She was like, oh, PTSD, we all have trauma. I have trauma. You're 24. You're too young to have trauma. Like, she was just, like, going up, down, left, right.
I have to say something about that, actually, because I did not care for that moment at all. I thought that that was a really, really stupid button to push. I thought it did need to be said because, like, you don't disregard somebody's actual PTSD and trauma and stuff, and you don't, like, just say, oh, whatever. Because, like, in this day and age, like, honey, if you're a millennial, more than likely you've suffered a lot of trauma. Like, if you're just somebody living in 2021, 22, going on 22, you know, like, you've probably got some trauma, some PTSD. So it's just, like, we've all got our own mental health issues. And I just thought that was such a low blow to go for that immediately. I think that there are definitely some there's a little slight resentment. Either there's some resentment there, or she's just somebody that when she gets poked by even just a word or phrase, she just goes the fuck
she
off.
Just yes. says it. Yeah.
Because what'd she say back to Astrid? She was like, something, and she was like, well, you come to my shows. I know you're a fan of mine. Like, some sort of just weird, like, you don't get bookings. Yeah, and then she was like, and that's why you couldn't make it in Brooklyn. Like, it just felt like, and my favorite thing about all of this back and forth, and she even lashed out at Sigourney Beaver, who was like, you know, has her own way of speaking. I didn't feel like she was pushing her catchphrase. That didn't make sense to me. I think she just talks like that.
Yeah, I think that's just
like
how she says.
She just says for free all the time.
Yeah.
No, but that is very Sigourney, because I had the pleasure of meeting Sigourney back at Bushwig,
two months ago?
It was like
a month ago. Less than a month ago. Well, let's just be safe there. I met Sigourney, and she's very bubbly, very just like that, too. Like, she just speaks like that, like, and that's just how she is, even when we're just talking just like how you guys and I are right now. Like,
yeah.
So she's just very that personality.
But my favorite thing was Mary Cherry, who did not have a seat. She was just sort of presiding, and she would, like, go to one side of the room and be like, what's going on over here?
Yeah.
And, like, get the conversation going.
It would be a different cut. She would be on a different side of the room, and she would be like, ooh, ooh. They just kept cutting to her for the reaction shots, and she was giving the faces.
I feel like if you're in your mid to late 30s, sorry, Mary. And
wow, you really went for her at 42.
Oh, okay. And you go on a reality show, girl. Did you see Betty popping off like that when they're all that? You just sit around and watch these little chickens run their mouths.
She was kind of instigating, but then she was also trying to be like, calm it down, girl. And then Zavaleta even like kind of copped to her a little bit.
Yeah.
For her to be like, my booking fee will be higher.
It was very, intense.
It was a rough, on your season, was it that intense up at the get-go?
No, because we were all just fans of each other. We were very much the more, like, emotional but very nice season, because, like, we just weren't naturally ready to attack, like, at, like, you know, the minute's notice.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, seeing this like brings back that kind of season two energy of Dragula, and seeing how hungry these competitors are, but how competitive they fucking are too. And right. it's fun to watch, but a part of me is also just like, okay, but what are the looks?
Yeah.
Like, you're talking all this fucking smack, but what are you about to bring on this floor show? Because that's really what's going to carry you in this competition, not just that mouth, sweetie.
Well, I know you're a fan of me because I have a very big following on Instagram and Twitch. Girl, when Formaldehyde said that, I went and looked up her Instagram, and this is no shade.
It sounds like it's about to be shade at but my face.
30,000 followers after the season got announced. Mm-hmm. So a year ago or whenever they filmed it, I could understand saying like, I love my Instagram following and I'm really proud of what I put online. But to sit at the table and say, I have a very big following on Instagram. If you don't have over 100,000 followers, I would never ever say very big following.
It was a bit of a reach. I'm not going to lie. It was a bit of a reach. However, I think that was just her, because from what I gather from Formelda, she is the bedroom queen. She doesn't perform. She's done a lot of the
people
stuff
all do
online.
It in the bedroom with her.
Oh, yes, see. I will. I want
but,
the best
yeah,
for her.
She doesn't have a lot of performing experience. She doesn't do drag, let's say, publicly, as a lot of us have.
It's very different to be on a computer than to be on a stage. And I think we'll get to it in a little bit later. But they say that. They're like, you have to fill the room. Like, if there's an audience full of people, you can't be that small.
Exactly. But like I was saying, like, I got a very introverted vibe from Imelda.
Yeah,
and seeing her speak up the way that she was towards Zavaleta, I was just getting this sort of like, she was saying what she felt was necessary in that moment to kind of retaliate, and trying to match that energy, which is kind of like a more like nervous thing to do, because I could tell her energy was a little, like she was a little shaken a little bit, because I don't think she was expecting all that heat all at once.
There was a little they tried to pick a weakest link and just jab at her, but then they really bring it up with some fun, sexy music when they introduce the love affair between Astrid and Hoso. That fucking 80s sexy time music.
I know it wasn't there, but I mean, when I was looking at it, I somehow saw wind-blown hair and slow motion. Like, it really was
emojis. Like, and they were showing them looking at each other and complimenting each other. I was like, this is horny energy. This is very, very horny.
Very much so. But if you see Hoso in person, like, you will be smitten,
oh,
too.
She's gorgeous.
I'm telling you, I saw her talking head when she introduced herself, and I gasped. I was like, oh, so she's stunning.
Yes.
So she's stunning.
Oh, the skin is flawless. The stunning skincare routine, mama.
So she's fucking stunning. God. Okay, got it. Noted. Yeah. Got
it. And then Jay Jolie is so butch and so
don't
nice.
You think?
Yeah. But
Jade's been on that gym regimen, though, too. She's been in the gym. She's been getting the fitness in. I've been keeping up with her, like,
her
for
balls
years.
Dropped.
But, like, on,
well, that's the thing.
Bad,
we saw her a decade ago or whatever it was. That was the last
was
time sort of the world saw her
twinky.
On TV.
Yeah.
And now she's like a little more like, oh, okay, that's, you know, that's a man.
And
Maury.
She's been working consistently. So now she understands drag more now. Mm-hmm. And she keeps on saying like all drag is valid. And I truly believe that it's not an act. I believe that she believes that. Based on the shows that she puts on now in Nashville or Louisville.
I believe it, because like even like her and I like our relationship too, like I met her like a couple years after her run on Drag Race, but even still, like she's consistently, like even with everything post Dragula, she was always like liking stuff, like commenting on it, and like I see her bouncing around all over the place, like, you know, on social media, like commenting on stuff, and she clearly, like, she said it with her chest, like she believes what she said, like all drag is valid. Like, I truly believe that for her. Absolutely.
All right.
Well,
and then,
should we get into the floor show?
Yeah, floor show. This episode, sorry, everyone. This one's probably going to be a little longer because we had to introduce everybody and get to them. So
it's the intro episode. It's always the longest. Yeah.
I will just want to give Mary Cherry a shout out for bringing her own
three fans. And then she turns to the camera and says, see, you can barely even hear it. And that made me think that there was maybe a conversation backstage of like, you can't bring a fan if it's going to be loud.
I think sound brought up that issue with the microphones too.
Yeah, so she was probably like, I'm going to go buy me the nicest, quietest little Dyson.
Yeah, because we weren't even able to, because sound was like, don't slam on the workroom tables because it'll, audio will pick that up and it'll make a loud noise. And we were just like,
if you're working on a drag show, if you're working on a drag show, you need to be an expert sound engineer.
Yeah.
You need to deal with bracelets jangling and latex sucking sounds against skin and, you know, all that stuff.
Honestly, I got to give it to sound, though. I'm still finding mic tape from my season on my old costume.
Oh,
I'm still in those little nooks and crannies. I'm so props to you, sound, for always rigging the girls up, for ringing the monsters up and making sure we sound amazing.
So they all leave the room. And then we see a witch's hand blow out a candle, and then they all come back into the room. And
does this air somewhere with commercials?
Maybe later. Maybe they're pre-editing it for commercials. Like how when we record this podcast, we say we're going
to commercial
break.
We say let's take a break.
And then we put them in later.
Because that's what it is. They do they like go to a commercial. Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay.
But I will ask you, what type of TV show or movie or premiere is 1 hour and 11 minutes long? Isn't it
one
normally
on Shudder.com.
Like 22 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half? Anyway.
Actually, no. 1:11 is the length of a 90-minute piece of television with 20 minutes of commercials. Because that's how long the Drag Race shows are.
There it is.
Ooh, we're not supposed to say Drag Race on here.
No, and neither are these contestants. Now, the Boulets model their looks in the black and red latex and long sleeve gloves.
Up on the stage.
These looks are made by Mindy L'Amour.
Okay.
Who is someone who makes incredible costumes. They also have their own drag clothing line.
Yes.
Where they sell pre-made costumes, which I have the cat suit. It's the cat suit I love to wear that you don't like.
I have a duster coat from Miss
Mindy.
Oh,
that I don't like?
Yeah, the one with the purple snake skin and the boobies.
Here's the thing about the cat suit is beautifully made. Gorgeous. On Meatball's body, the tits are right in the center. And they don't go out to the side of the cat suit. So when Meatball wears it, her boobies are right here. And they're meant to be out here, Meatball. That's why I don't like when you wear
it. Well, I've stopped wearing it.
Look at Eva being like, this faggot is critiquing a drag queen and never puts on drag. I see that in your face.
No, I was like, so Meatball's kind of giving the reverse Mariah Carey cleavage.
Yeah.
It's like together.
Yeah, more forever. Together, it's like forever. They were
instead
glued
of
together.
Two worlds apart. Yeah, I got it.
What, and Eva, you've worn these contacts before, the white ones with the little dots. What is it see out of those?
It just makes your it's like almost like you accidentally got your white liner in your eye. It gives you a foggy overlay. Yeah, it's a very milky overlay. If you have light shine, like press one for English. If you have light like shine directly on your face. Uh-huh. It'll blind you. It's basically blinding.
Yeah. Remember, because I wore them in my first episode, and one of them fell. I took one of them out and threw it on the ground because I could not see because they were filming us from straight on. So that's why in like the later part of the episode, I'm only wearing one because I took it out because I couldn't see. Did they film this floor show at the Globe Theater again? Looks like the Globe, and it looks like the Globe's new big LED.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had
LED
they had that
what?
Wall.
Okay.
Yeah, they have
you
this
just
giant
said LED, and then you stopped.
Sorry, I thought it's not everyone in the club scene. They have an LED. You can.
They have this giant LED screen behind them, and yeah, they had the same thing for season 3, and they also have the same runway setup where it's the big stage, and then you have this very skinny runway strip, and it basically makes a letter T in front of you. So they have that skinnier, like elongated piece that kind of goes in front of the judges panel and then off to the side as well.
It just seems like maybe this time they shot it like up level with the stage, like you don't see the stage portion,
right?
The way they shot it is very reminiscent kind of how Resurrection's floor shows were filmed. I absolutely love the way, like, we're about to get into everyone's looks, but I'm just saying the way that this was shot, oh my god, chef's kiss. The quality is there.
Yeah.
And what I liked, I guess in watching some of them, some of the seasons past, what I liked about this is that the shots were artistic and, you know, vibey, but also you could really see what was going on with the look. Mm-hmm. I think some of the previous seasons, the shots were really cool, but you were sort of like, I really want to see what they're being judged on. And I feel like, I felt like with what we saw in this episode, it was the perfect mix of that. Yeah. Like,
and we got a close up from bottom to top. Like, I got to see the details of these costumes.
Yeah. Everyone got a chance to show their gags, their reveals, everything.
Oh my God.
Like, of course, there's stuff that we're not meant to see because it makes sense during judging. Because if stuff doesn't work out, they're not going to include that, like, on the floor. 9 times out of 10, I've never truly seen that happen, except in, like, maybe the group challenges. But they normally never show any flubs. They only want to show the artist and the garment and, like, what you're presenting. Which I think is very respectful because...
And they'll do you some favors because a couple times the back of my costume was wide open and they never showed it.
Oh, you continued that on in your career.
Yes, absolutely.
To this day.
You look at it from the front, bitch, not from the back. So we get our wonderful guest judges, which we have Tanana Reeve Du, who is a horror historian and an author, and then Darren Stein. I will say, I love Darren. But I let out an audible scream
when saw that moon floating on her head.
When I saw the look, because I'm so used to just seeing Darren as Darren Stein, never in makeup, never in a look. Yeah, the glasses, and it's like such a just like such an iconic image of him that when it cut to him and he was like in a look, I went like it scared me.
Girl, she was painted too. Oh, that was your jump scare? That was your jump scare on this whole episode? Not the haunted house.
The haunted house, I would have done fine. But I would have walked out on that stage and seen Darren Stein with a little moon. Been like, oh, Darren, I didn't even recognize you.
And I also love that the Boulets say, it's so awful to see you again. That slight twist is so funny to me that they do it always, you know?
It's always like taking the positive but making them the negative connotation of them. Right. Like, just, it's, very on brand.
So, all right, so now we're going to blast through these because we have 11 girls to get through.
Let's do it.
So first...
Oso Teratoma.
First out, the other mother from Coraline. To me, this one should have won. This was my number one. This one was incredible.
Gagged.
And it was an so instant incredible realization of who it was. Then,
and the fingers. The freaking mechanical fingers that she had on to give that real, like, other mother, like, spidery finger. Oh, my God. Like, this is drag, sweetie.
Did she say Coraline? Was she allowed to say it?
She did. Okay. I think she did say Coraline.
I also just love the way she was like, and I just want to take people's eyes out and sew buttons on them. It's great.
Go ahead. Keep going. Let's go. J. Jolie.
J. Jolie, a Sanderson sister from Hocus Pocus.
Yes, Sarah Sanderson.
Some would say Disney is the Taylor Swift of horror films.
Uh-oh. I'm just kidding. J. Jolie, come on the pod. Come on the pod, bitch.
Come on the pod. I'll fight you.
And then she had some of those Nightcrawler like mealworms like in her lantern, and she stuffed her face. No, as soon as I saw the mealworms, I was like, you better eat those. You better eat those fucking worms, bitch.
Yes.
And she fucking stuffed her face, and I said, you go, Jade Jolie.
Now, what are those, Jade. What do those taste like, those mealworms?
I think they're just crunchy and slimy.
Well, I imagine they're a little nutty because, like, I'm just going off my experience.
Not nutty.
Like, like, I ate a cockroach on my season after me and Hollow did that little roach thing. And it's a little oily, a little crunchy, a little nutty in flavor and texture. So I imagine that's what most those bugs taste like.
I hate it.
Okay, Saint
comes out as Leatherface, showing off the leg, sticking true to who she is, which is body, oddy, oddy.
And the chainsaw.
And the chainsaw. And just having, like, the body, half of her face, the boob. It was great. Loved it. I knew exactly what it was.
I squealed like a little girl when I saw her, because when I saw the chainsaw, and even playing Dead by Daylight so much, like, during quarantine and everything, like, seeing her as, like, Leatherface and just in that iteration of it, like, I was so in love, because it's just, like, the face, the mask was my favorite part, because it just, it's so creepy, but she was so stunning at the same time.
Yeah. The sexiest psychopath ever.
I just can't get over those legs. Sorry, I wish I could.
Just oiled for the back
row. Yeah, she was slimed up.
She said, I'll oil this leather face and I'm going to oil these legs.
Yeah, you got to keep that skin moisturized.
Creamy, honey.
She put the lotion on the skin. Now we get to Astrid.
This was
insane. This was like high art. This is something that you would see at a real horror show. I thought it's a clear winner, but I just loved Hoso's. It was cooler to me.
Astrid, as soon as I saw, and I know why they complimented her tail so much, because like it just the detail in it. But when she first came out, I was like, you better take that mask off. You better take that off.
And she
took it
did.
Off. And I said, oh, thank God she took the mask off. And then like, I just, the whole look, and then the teeth were silver. And I said, oh my God, I ejaculated everywhere because I was like, just those little details people put in there. It's like the silver teeth. Like I wouldn't have thought those would have been there until she showed them. And I said, see, there you go.
And I will say, not to take away from Astrid, but to going back to teeth, Jade had those like bright yellow teeth too,
which was crazy when they were talking later.
Yes, because she was like, "Thank you,
smiling," and I was yellow like, teeth.
She was giving very like Sarah before she sucked the soul and took the potion and like all that. She pre-sucked, Sarah.
Then we get to Sigourney Beaver.
Yes. And this is our reveal moment. Maybe. Bride of Frankenstein, right?
Came in strong. Yeah, it was Bride of Frankenstein, and I did not recognize that until the reveal, which I think was a good thing.
I saw the stitches on the face, and I was like, okay, so the hair is usually the iconic silhouette.
Yeah, she did turn sideways, and I saw the strip of color, I was like, okay.
It's such a hot, like, the beauty about Sigourney is the haunting, just beauty of their face. And her face is just so, and the contacts and everything, it's just a very haunting beauty about her. And then, at first, when I saw the costume, I was like, oh, is this the whole look? Because at first, I was like, this cover-up is gorgeous, and it's great, but I'm like, is this all? Yeah. Like, it left me wanting
kinda
more.
Kind of simple. And then, it was angular and, like...
But it texture-wise, it was all the same thing. Yeah, it had a really fascinating shape.
But then she took it off, and then we saw them bolts. Instead of on her neck, they were on her nippies.
Honey, because the coat was great, but the costume underneath was just the crescendo I needed from that look. And when she started bouncing those bitties and twirling those titties, I said,
this was cum part two.
So while you were coming, then Mary Cherry came out, and what happened to you?
I might have gone flaccid just a little bit because I got it.
Me? I got rock hard for the marshmallow.
I thought it was so funny.
It was great.
I started dying laughing. It was so funny to me.
But that's why I'm like,
I sort of wished the production had changed the music and she got like,
I'm crying right now. Just remember.
Just the audacity of Mary Cherry to be like, I'm going to be the marshmallow.
I'm going to be the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
It's from Ghostbusters, right?
It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. Okay. And I absolutely loved the approach to the look. It's definitely different than obviously the film, but I gotta say, she must have been cooking under that costume.
Yes, that thing didn't breathe.
That latex does not breathe, and I know how it just balloons when you like zip it up, and like sweat will just pour out of your sleeves, like when you wear it.
And
yeah, when they told her she was safe, wasn't she? Thank you.
She goes, "Thank you," and like busts off because I was like, "She's trying to get that off."
Yeah, you're made to stay on that stage for quite a while.
Oh my God.
Under those lights.
And then we get La Zabaleta.
Well, let's take a break. Just for time's sake, let's take a break and we'll do the rest when we get back.
Okay. Tea.
Okay,
and we're back.
We are spookily spooky. Back.
We're doing this for the first time. Then we have
La Zabaleta,
daughter of Horchata.
Oh, really?
Yes, Brooklyn.
Oh, come on, Chata.
And she comes out as this Pan's Labyrinth creature from the Guillermo del Toro movie with eyes on her hands. And in the movie, the monster has like really loose skin. Gotcha. But it's loose skin that's done in like a way that it's coming, like it would be coming off of a body. And the loose skin that she has made me almost feel like it was a zombie with like its stuff coming off.
When she was working on the hands in the boudoir, I said, you're making something. That's something.
I thought the hands were the best part of the whole thing.
I thought so too. I was like, I saw the eyes. I said, okay, so you're doing that. Cool. But then when she came out, I'm sorry. It was giving me that yellow carpenter's tape. It was giving me like that really tough tape. It was giving me like that yellow tape you see like, you know, at like Home Depot or something. And it was not giving skin at all. Like there was no like detail with like the body area that it, like to me, it just all looked very just
like a blob a little bit.
And just flaps of just latex pieces. I don't even know what it was.
The concept was there and it was strong. And I did like the hand.
Yeah, but
the rest of it, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done to make it better than that. But I also I did laugh really hard when they showed that person pumping the blood.
That was, yeah.
You could see it coming through the tube. Like,
so slowly.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, yeah, it's going to take a minute. If it didn't take a long time, then there would have been blood everywhere because it would have been loose in the tube.
Yeah, but also you could prep it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though, is entertainers always practice your props, your gags, your reveals beforehand at least a couple times, because it's like the point of a reveal is that it happens seamlessly and then it has more impact.
Right.
And I felt like it was Ian. It was Ian.
Okay,
he got the big
arms, too, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, it's like when Drac was saying we were waiting, I was like, when they say they were waiting, they had to have been waiting because
they have enough wherewithal to be like, yeah, set that up. We'll wait for it to go. But then if they're really waiting,
and they're not two people that you want to keep waiting ever. Well,
I think the blood was too thick in consistency because it was coming out like a milkshake in a straw, honey. It was
it didn't drip. It kind of like, it came out very thick. Maybe it just needed
chunky
like
blood. A little blood.
A little bit less corn syrup.
Yeah.
Then next up is the baby.
The baby. The Meatball's baby. Best friend.
It's my best friend, Formaldehyde.
And this was a play on the clown
Jigsaw from Saw.
Now, when they said that they couldn't recognize that was Jigsaw, do you think it was maybe the lines on the cheek, the spirals were too thin, and it just looked like rosy cheeks from a distance?
I think so. She was also wearing a nurse's hat, correct?
And she had those syringes, and I think everyone was focused on the syringes, right?
It was just because, like, we've never really seen, like, we've seen hospital, like, depictions in the movies of Saw, but I don't think we've ever seen Jigsaw, like, in that way. And I think because, well, Jigsaw also has black hair, too. Like, he has black hair. It's not red. To me, that was the only thing, is there are certain elements that were a little like mixed up, but
the one that Tanana Reeves said, I'm not familiar with the source material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, gag, they have nine Saw movies or whatever.
She was very
I've
much
never
like,
seen a Saw movie in my life, but I recognize that swirl on those fucking cheekbones. You know what I mean?
That part was iconic, but I think it was just too like subtle. I think that it could have been like, she could have made it more obvious and had like barbed wire like somewhere. She could have had like an actual like saw blade somewhere, like just to kind of give that extra reference, because like the look was lovely, because I actually enjoyed the look as itself. But for the challenge, I think that I understood where they kind of got a little confused.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, she's still hot. And then
speaking of hot,
we have Coco King out in the best Morticia Adams look I've ever seen. This was literally word for word following the assignment.
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
The braids.
Do you think
were...
the blood is what made her not win?
Because yes.
it didn't line up with Adam's family. Yeah.
But I also, thought... she was giving you like a vampire mortician. Like, she made it
she
just
was
different.
So
enough.
Gorgeous.
I think. I think so. Here's like, I think the blood was definitely a bit of a hindrance because we've never really seen Morticia with blood, really, ever.
Yeah, right.
I think what would have carried over better was if she had a bouquet almost as big as her and she just would have taken scissors to every rose.
Oh, yeah.
Just, because that's Morticia's thing.
Yeah.
It's like you just snip the roses. And I think that that would have just been a little better just with the translation. But the look overall made me fucking... like clutch my chest. I was like, this is everything.
It had everything. It was Banji, but also so classy with all the slits. Like, it was so good. The hair. Also,
down to the ankles.
Down. That's a lot of hair. That's
expensive.
The braids were so gorgeous.
But what if she also, is it Cousin It that's the little hand?
No,
that's... Thing.
Cousin
that's
It
the
is
thing.
The hair.
Yes, the
hair.
The hair. I was,
thing is the hand.
So what if she had a hand and then she masturbated with it?
I mean,
that's ooky spooky.
She could have had it like on her shoulder and then had
it
like a magnet
its way
installed
down.
And like had it clutch her boob or something.
And then slap it away. Perverted. Like, what are you doing? Like,
what are you doing? I'm a married woman.
What
are
you
doing? I'm not trying to get those fingers.
That's the perfect Morticia Adams.
What are you doing? I'm a married woman. Woman, they call me Morticia Adam. I got these kids.
And then we have Bitter Betty.
Bitter Betty.
As
and
Elvira.
Elvira was tired. Well, why did she have the.
You mean under the eyes? I thought that was a read.
No, not a read at
her
all.
Elvira
fucking,
was tired.
Her fucking hair. She banged that shit out of that hair. And her titties look so good.
One thing
those
we're gonna
earrings?
See from her. It's hair. The earrings hair. Were cut. It's the jewel necklace. The
girl.
Belt with the knife. She
but
had to look down.
I was trying to understand the lines under her eyes because
she
painted those on.
She was trying to be like a ghoulish Elvira.
Yeah,
I understand why she didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, understand. Like, she's definitely got that Southern drag training for sure because you're always going to have the completed look with the jewels, the look, the hair, the garment. But the thing is, with this, she was definitely going more demonic, it looks like, with Elvira because the teeth, the contacts, the under eye bags making, you know, more like just intense eye makeup, I guess. The hair was unclockable. But yeah, I think this Elvira, like, she definitely didn't deserve to be in the bottom, but I understood why she was definitely down there with the bottom two for sure.
Now, Meatball, what would you have done?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I would have maybe done like the creature from the Black Lagoon, but like sexy.
Oh, so you would have gotten a hand out there and masturbated or something like that?
Yeah, I would have gotten a hand. I would have had a hand on my shoulder, worked its way down to my titty. I'm not married. Get down lower. No, but I would have found a way to, like, I don't know, make a latexy bodysuit, like, but like have big old fucking jugs, fat ass.
Could you have done the creature from Black Lagoon, but like in a bikini?
Yeah,
so
like
it's like
sexy,
like campy, sexy, but also that horror. Yeah.
And
yeah.
like turn around and just like have shit drool coming out of my mouth,
and then like go get cheese fries at like the vendor
fries.
Stand.
What would you
go
do?
Give me cheese sauce?
What would you do, Dip?
Chucky.
No
Chucky.
One. I think that's a little. That would have been sexy. A sexy Chucky, like a Jessica Rabbit Chucky.
No, I would have been Chucky in the full outfit. But I think I would have like had like a tearaway to be the sexy Chucky, and then I would like do the thing where like the body paint to make it look like I'm a plastic doll.
That's good.
Eva,
what would you do?
Oh gosh, you know, like I haven't really thought about it. Like I actually had like an idea because like we're supposed to do like the kind of like Halloween monster but more modern, I guess, like during our season, which is, you know, what they did that episode after I was eliminated, and I had an idea for that. I guess I kind of had like two ideas because I was either gonna go like the Wolfman, but make it more like,
oh, because you're hairy,
like housewife,
celebrate your
like,
body
kind
hair.
Of like very like Wolfman meets like PSL, like housewife, like Karen.
Oh, that
almost.
Would be funny.
Or take it with that idea, or make it like very Anna Wintour, like fashion icon, but she's like busting out of the seams because she's mid transformation, kind of.
Oh my god, that's cool.
The other idea that I had was the Bride of Frankenstein, but Sigourney was already the bride. But my idea was coming out like in this neck corset that covers my mouth, and then like I take it off and also reveal that my titties are those electric balls that you touch with your fingers.
Oh.
And
yes.
Then, yeah, and then, like, I was going to take the neck corset off and then have a compact mirror and fix my lipstick and then smear it and then look to the camera, look back at my mirror, and then do that, you know, Bride of Frankenstein scream.
Oh, yeah.
And shit. Like, I had this whole idea for that episode.
Oh, that would have been so fun.
But yeah, that's probably what I would have done.
There's always all stars. Okay.
Yeah.
The Boulets say one of their favorite statements that I've ever heard, which is, we are not here to judge your drag. Drag is art, and art is subjective. What we are judging you on is your drag as it relates to this competition and the challenges we've put before you.
Which I think is a good thing for them to say.
Yes. So Mary Cherry is safe. J. Jolie is safe. Saint is safe. But Mary do believe that she should have been on top.
But she, happy to go take a seat backstage.
Yeah, she honestly,
due to her
she couldn't. I've never seen her move faster. She was in that haunted house crawling around slower than she was getting off that stage.
And then the best people, and this I kind of live, I live for how they do this. They're like, y'all did the best. You were voted the low. It's never like, it's never vague.
Yeah.
So the best people are Astrid, Coco, Sigourney, and Hoso.
Which
they
I agree
all
with.
Get positive feedback. And then the winner of the challenge is Astrid. And she is gobsmacked. And Miss Sigourney is plucked.
She really gave us a whole Taylor Swift, I just want another Grammy reaction.
She literally was like, fuck, what? Me?
Who?
Cool.
Where?
Oh my
Am
God.
I here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually a little shocked that Astrid took that. I loved Astrid's look, and I said it to her on social media. I was like, you were fucking sick, bitch. But
right.
I was actually expecting Hoso to take it.
Yeah. Same.
I really was, just because of how much of a like just grand and just excellent execution of, you know, with that. But at the same time, just Astrid's look, I think, translates better to kind of like Drakenswan's taste level too, with like just like that just it's a punk alien for fuck's sake, like with like this really
I think
cool
maybe
fucking
what
haircut.
We weren't seeing was that it was all black, and so we couldn't really see all the detail like they were seeing it in the room. But it was masterfully created, and it deserved to win.
Oh, yeah.
Sigourney plucked.
Sure.
Sigourney mad.
Sigourney was saltine
That's
crackers.
Right.
Yeah,
but because
she was
the feedback for those top four were like all, it was all really good feedback.
Yeah.
And I could imagine being both Sigourney or Hoso. I mean, I think for Coco, when they talked about the blood, it became obvious she wasn't going to win. But I could see the other two thinking they might win.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand like where Sigourney's coming from, especially from like kind of like a perfectionist mindset, because it's like if you don't get the kind of like feedback or results that you were expecting, like your face says it all, especially when you can't hide your expressions. And I am guilty as fuck of that. And it's like Sigourney had such great feedback, especially for her, you know, her tits and her bolts swinging around and her reveal and everything.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's like when the looks are just bigger and grander, it's like, yeah, it just is what it is. And somebody's going to be better than you. But.
Well, I also think they take into account like your performance on the stage.
Right.
And Astrid
was
delivering. And that Astrid was doing what she does best, which is use her body in a very strange way.
Use her body.
Very bad.
Okay,
now, yes, there will always be someone better, but there are also going to be
always
some
someone
who did worse.
And they
so
will not be happy.
Bottoms,
we have La Zavaleta. They showed the blood. We talked. The blood pump didn't work. We had Bitter Betty. They thought that the Elvira look was too close to the real thing. And formaldehyde, none of the judges got the reference to Saw. And the big one said, I'm shocked you're wearing Club Kid boots on episode one.
Girl.
Which is a callback to my former roommate and trash pizza feeder, Felony Dodger, who wore Felony boots on the first episode and got sent home because they didn't like the boot. And I remember that morning I said, you're not going to wear a heel?
No, really? Okay. When I saw Fermelda walk out, that was the first thing I saw. I said, Demonia's. You're wearing Demonia lace up boot. You're wearing Demonia goth lace up boot, like, and not even a heel. And you're not even gonna, the walk just wasn't there for me either. Like, the way Fermelda walked, I was like, okay, maybe some fine tuning on that walk, sweetie.
I don't know why she's hiding that face. Bring the face out. Now, she. She, like I said earlier,
let me see the meat.
She's probably just used to being able to like film and edit herself on her computer. So doing something live is harder because you don't get the chance to fix it. Like, you're supposed to be doing it full out in the room. Absolutely.
But even like emoting as the character while you walk too, because talking from experience and you yourself, like, they look at every single fucking detail because that's who they are.
When Meatball was on the show, they looked at each and every one of those fuzzy little balls that you wore on that paper collar.
Exactly. Sure.
And they said, give it to her. Now,
from point A, from point B, you're being judged on that walk.
So La Zavaleta and Formaldehyde have to do the extermination challenge. They save Bitter Betty, I'm guessing because of drama. And it's a remake of the season one. It was my challenge where you're buried alive in a cemetery, 6 feet under the ground. It looked more like four. and they throw crickets and little bugs and water.
Now, when they teased this, they were like, vermin. I was like, oh, there's going to be rats. I thought there's going to be rats, snakes.
A snake.
I guess they couldn't put anything in there that like people keep as a pet.
I think people would be after them if they were using like live animals like that. So,
man, fuck PETA.
It's crazy. Zavaleta.
Smoke. Before we go to the challenge, what happens backstage? And what do they call this area? Did someone call this backstage area the cauldron?
Yeah, so I guess they're doing kind of like
an untucked
backstage moment.
No, it's not called untucked. They're calling it tucked.
the cauldron, and they get some drinks, the little cocktail moment.
With the paper straws.
But now I'm like...
This is Form the Core Room.
Yeah. I want to see that footage of that room. What goes on in that room?
I want to see what else happens in there. But Zavaleta's screaming, and she's like, I don't have to prove that I'm a star. And Mary Cherry turns to her so casually without an ounce of irony and says, actually, you do. You're in the extermination challenge.
Oh, my God. And, okay, now this buildup with this moment where La Zavaleta, she, like, just starts crying. She starts breaking down. She's like, I buried my sister recently and like all this stuff. Like,
what if one of the other girls was like, yeah, girl, we heard, we all have trauma.
See, now here's the thing. I'm like, you got a dose of that bitter ass medicine, bitch, because it's like you in the earlier in the episode, you were discrediting Astrid for her trauma and her PTSD. And now look at you. With your pants down. With your fucking pants down. I'm like, I love Zavaleta. Like, we've met. Like, her drag is sickening. She's a great performer. However, moments like these, I just have to be like, bitch, you bit yourself in your own ass with that moment.
Well, it does seem like she jumped too quickly to start that drama in the boudoir in that earlier scene.
Yeah.
And before she's realized, because we all love to pop off, but it's much better when you can pop off and you have a little more ground to stand on.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Seemed
like she jumped out of nowhere at Astrid, and now it's exactly like you're saying. She's going, I fucking buried my sister. This is really traumatic for me. And everyone's going like, well, Diva, you've been a bitch to us for two solid days. Like,
literally,
what are we going to do? Like, who was sitting next to her and just kept saying, stop being mean?
I think
everyone at some point said it.
I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember the order, but I think like it was maybe Astrid. No, it was maybe Hoso.
I don't know. Someone just,
I know
every
Mary
time
Cherry
she said
kept on being
kept
like,
saying,
you're being
stop
rude.
Stop being mean. Yeah. Oh my God. So wild. All right. Well, let's see the extermination.
It ends up,
Meatball.
What?
Oh, I was going to say, let's talk about the extermination challenge.
Well, they get in there, they drop the stuff on them. I don't know who's winning or losing. They drop crickets, mealworms, and maybe piss or maybe just water. But
kind of felt like waterboarding, though, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
it was a little dangerous.
It's like upping the panic, because to me, if I was in that coffin, I'd be like, when's the water going to stop, though?
Yeah, right. I like, remember having that exact thought. I thought I was going to be in there filled with water. But now what I will tell you is that our season, we weren't like fully buried. Like they threw some dirt on it, but we weren't like, if I wanted to, I could have lifted the lid off.
Girl, they screwed that lid down. You heard
well,
the
you
screwing.
Don't know. Oh, yeah.
They did
something.
They used a screw sound effect.
I don't know.
Those girls look scared.
Anyway. They were in there. I peed in my coffin. I hope one of those was the originals.
I mean, for Melda, she was in full like anxiety panic mode, because as soon as they started dropping those critters, she was freaking out.
But Liza Valletta gave us a little bit of a scared performance for a moment.
And then she spit so much she covered up her own camera.
Then you couldn't see anymore. She was having her own moment, but she was toughing it out. A little
How
more.
Did they pick who was going home? It must have just, it wasn't based on the extermination challenge, because they both seem to have completed it. So it must have just been based on the floor show. And formaldehyde baby, my sweet little baby angel. Oh, my child.
Yeah, they
she goes
don't
home.
Sexualize formaldehyde and then say, oh, my child.
You're right. We'll cut that out. Oh, my sweet, sexy baby. Oh, no.
Thank you. We're going to keep all this
no.
in.
Oh,
people, just how
you
fucked
sexy
up
little,
you
little
are,
bitch.
People.
You sexy little baby.
So then they both crawl out of the coffin, and they get chased by, throwback to 3 years earlier in the episode, the people with the Boulay Brothers masks that wasn't really explained in the beginning.
Yes, central casting is now chasing them down.
And they're wearing these masks, and then we reveal the actual Boulay Brothers behind a mask, ready to kill.
Singing their new song, Time to Die,
available
on Spotify and probably
MyTunes.
Everywhere else.
They had that double plug with the masks and the song, and I just really appreciated the tie-in from the beginning.
Yes.
And
I think it's
going to
be a story that keeps building, clearly.
Yeah, and I just love this sort of like 80s horror flick style filming that they're doing, where they're being chased and you're just getting like this throwback horror movie like vibe from it. And I was just eating it up. I was like, this is fun. I love the way that this is being filmed. And they're like, literally, like the contestants aren't just like getting handed a trophy and get sent to a van to go cry and pack their shit. No, they get their own like horror movie moment. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. I can't wait for the Boulays to do their just like have a horror movie separately.
I mean, they might as well at this point. Like, it's
and
overdue.
It would be like, Shudder horror movie.
Yeah, a horror movie. And then they would stop doing these skits during the show.
Now, they just need that one
they need
big
that outlet.
Acting gig. Yeah. they need to get that
and
out.
And then they'll be like, then we can just let the queens do
their
little
and then,
competition.
This should be a competition with little skits and scats.
What I think is interesting about this episode, to sort of tie it all together, they promote the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Formaldehyde wears a mask,
mm-hmm.
gets eliminated, and then killed when the Boulays wear their mask. So what they're saying is, don't wear any other mask than our mask.
No.
The only mask to wear in the world is the Boulay Brothers
mask.
You know, I will say one last thing about her is, I think what really killed her was those club kid boots. I think, honestly, I
she
think
couldn't
the,
run
curse, the curse of the club kid boots lives on. The curse lives on.
Well, maybe Felony and Formaldehyde can go on tour.
Club Kids.
That's
with
so
Club
sweet.
Kids tour.
With the old Club Kids tour. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, here we go. Are you ready, Meatball?
The masks are $50. Should I get some? Oh, signed. They're $75.
Goodbye,
Fugly.
Ugly. Oh, Fugly. See, that's me doing the joke on this. Sorry, let's do it again.
Goodbye, Fuglies. Thank you so much for listening to Spooky Seconds. I can't place an accent. I don't know what I'm doing.
It was awful to see our special guest,
Eva Destruction!
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on and doing this. Where can everybody find you?
They can find me all across social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Eva Destruction, E-V-A-H, Destruction, the way it's spelled. You can find me on YouTube to see any of my performances that I post on there. And yeah, you can see me at a city near you, you know, whenever I'm booked nearby.
Do you have a very big following on Twitch?
Oh, yeah. And I also, I do my digital shows, Digital Destruction, once a month on my Twitch channel. And yeah, it's twitch.tv/EvaDestruction, the way it's spelled as well. And yeah, it's a good time.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Well, we'll see you all next time for
Spooky Seconds. Forever dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.